Okay, we're starting at the two dots on the top of Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing here to dissect the cases that we had in the Mishnah. The Gemara is now up to the case of Shochev Nimtzeit Trefa. So Amar Le Rav Chavivi Mechoznad Rav Ashish Mamina Ein Lishchita LaBasof. Must be that
by Chulin Shnishchatu Bazara
Shchita only takes place at the end. We have a machlok, so we're going to see in the Gemara coming up in a minute about how the process of Shchita takes place. Is Shchita only halachically nishchat when it reaches the end of the shchita process, meaning there's a cutting, and then the shchita actually comes into effect at the end? Or do we then say that shchita is mitchilat sof, and there's a process of shchita, that shchita is a process over time, from the beginning of the cutting process all the way to the end of it, all of that is considered or classified as shchita. Why? Why do you have to say this? The Yeshna the Shchita mitchilavat zof. Because if you believe Shchita takes place over the period of time, over the duration of the process of doing the Shchita, Kevet Shachat Bapurta Asra. As soon as he makes any small cut or begins the process of Shchita, then it becomes Asura. Idach Lo Demari Katavach. And the rest of what he cuts is not cutting something that belongs to the original owner. Now we have two conditions again to be chayev in arba chamisha. One of the conditions to be chayev in arba chamisha is that it belongs to the original owner, that it hasn't changed possession, it still belongs to the owner who it was stolen from. The second condition is that the tvicho is tvicho only happens when tvicho kulo, when he's checked in the entire process, he's gone through the entire shchita. So you only become chayev in arba chamisha at the end of the shchita process. But if you believe that there's a shchita can be affected b'tchila v'atzof, that there's a process of shchita that goes from the beginning to the end, if that is the case, then you're going to make it asura before it reaches the end of the shchita process. So it's asura up front, and then when he continues to shecht and become applicable or able to be chayev for the arba chamisha at the end of the shchita process, it's no longer his. It's now already asura. So it's not going to be impacted by his shechting of the animal, and he shouldn't be chayev arba and chamisha. So Amar Le Rav Huna Brei De Rav, wait a minute, ki kam chayev ahu purta. No, maybe that he becomes chayav at that purta. That little bit that he cuts in the beginning both generates the chiyuv or the isur that is coming in this case, as well as the chiyuv of arba v'chamisha. Now, the position that Rav Huna is suggesting over here goes against one of the principles that I just established before, which is that when we learned before tvacho, tvacho means tvacho kulo, right? That he tvach kulo, that he checks the entirety of the animal, he checks the until the end of the process, then he's only chayev arba chamisha. Because of that, that's what Rav Ashi answers. I'm like, Rav Ashi, lo titche, you can't knock off this question or this proof. But tvacho kulo bein and beleko. Then when it comes to tvacho, it has to be the entire process until the end of the shchita process, and that is lacking over here. Ella kashel. So it remains a question. So what are you going to do? Amalei, hachi amar av gamdo mishmei derova. How do we solve this problem of chulin shenishchatu ba'azara, they become asur bahana? If you believe that shchita from the beginning to the end, they become asur bahana immediately, and you only become chayav in arbav chamisha at the end of the shchita process. So how do we reconcile that? Well, you can only reconcile it according to what Rav Chavivi suggested before at the Rav Ashi, by saying that shchita really isn't a process. It really is. Shchita is only asura, only happens at the sof. If that's the case, then the isur of shchita tchulin ba'azara and the chi of arbav chamisha happen simultaneously. So now we have Rav Gamda Mishmei D'Rava suggesting another solution. Kagon Sheshachat Miksat Simani Bachutz. He does, he begins the Shechita process outside of the Azara. So you have Chulin, that he begins the process of Shechting the animal outside of the Azara. Begamram Bifnim, and then he takes the animal and finishes off the Shechita inside. So therefore, the point at which it becomes Asura is only inside, because that's when it becomes Chulin Ba'azara. So the beginning of the Shechita process he does was a kosher Shechita, it wasn't a problematic Shechita. When he moves the animal into the Azara and completes the Shechita process, then completing the Shechita process can either be that he reaches the Rove, or he finishes off the Shechita. Either one, and depending on the case, to create the finished product or the finished shchita over here. So that means that simultaneous with the chiyuv of arba chamisha is also the isur of chulin b'azara now, because he only is ending the shchita in the azara. He began the shchita outside, and he's only finishing it off inside. Ika the matni la'aha. There's some people that suggest that Rav Gamda's solution actually is on this. Not on what we just suggested over here, but rather on this. Amar Rab Shimon, Mishum Rabbi Levi, Sabo, Ein al the Shchita l'Basof. This is the opinion that we saw before, that there's only shechita only takes place at the end. I mean, there is no process of shechita. Shechita is at the completion of the shechita process. Biyochan amar yesh lo shechita mitchilat sof. Biyochan says, no, that is a process of shechita. Shechita takes place all the way from the beginning till the end. And it's called, there's a process of shechita, not just a moment when the shechita takes place. So amar Rav Chavivi Mechozna, the Rav Hashi, leimer kasavar Rav Yochanan. So from this, we can conclude that Rav Yochanan must believe chulin shenishchatu bazara lav d'oraisai. That if the chulin nishchat nezara is not an iser de oraisa, because if it were an iser de oraisa, if you think that shechita chulin bazara is an iser de oraisa, michi shachil da purta asra, the moment that he shechs it, it becomes a surah, I mean immediately. Idach lav de mara katavach. And then on the other hand, right, the rest or the remaining part of the animal, he's shechting, is no longer belongs to the original owner. And if that's the case, he won't be chayav dalav b'chamisha. So how could he come up with a case in our Mishnah that it's a case de oraisa, and it can also be chayav arba b'chamisha? Because if you believe that shechitat chulin b'azara is a din de oraisa, and shechitas mitchila atzof, that means the moment that you make the cut into the animal, it already becomes asura. If that's the case, the chiyuv of arba chamisha b'tvicha only takes place all the way at the end. So then you can't have such a case that it comes up in our Mishnah. So it must be that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's a derabanan. That chulin shenishchatu is a derabanan. It's only iser derabanan. If it's an iser derabanan, the rabbanan could have instituted or established that it only becomes a surah at the end of the shechita process. Even though generally shechita is mitchilat sof, that's even dinim deoraisa. But when it comes to din derabanan, the rabbanan established that the shechita is only a surah, only becomes a surah at the end, or even if the Rabbanan believe, again, that it's Asura in the beginning, right, then with this Midoraisa, it still belongs to the original owner. Because Mina Torah, there's nothing wrong with the Shechita that you're doing in the Azara, so it still belongs to the original owner. When you get to the end of the Shechita process, right, then you're Chayiv Arba Chamisha, because it's still in possession of the original owner. There might be an Isur Rabbanan here, Isur Anomi Rabbanan, but that doesn't change the ownership over here, which is one of the differences, as we know, between Isurei Rabbanan and Isurei D'Oraisa. When it comes to Isurei D'Oraisa, they affect the Chayfetz, they affect the object itself. So if it was Asur D'Oraisa, it would be Mafkir, the object's ownership, from the Baalim, from the owners. On the other hand, the Isurei Hanah from the Rabbanan are affected on the Gavra. They affect the individual, but the Chayfetz remains the same Chayfetz it was before. It's just now that the individual is restricted from getting Hanah from this object. So if that's the case, the object remains Chulin like it was before. And now there's a Chiyuv for Tvicha on this animal, because when he gets to the end of the Tvicha process, it's still in with the original owners. Midoraisa mina Torah. So only Midorabanan, they impose an Isur Hanah here, but the Chayfetz itself remains with the original owner, and when he shechs it and gets to the end of it, then it'll be Chayv Arba Chamisha. So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, Kikam Chayv Nami Ahu Purta. So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava suggests the suggestion that we had before. No, maybe he owes that Doraisa, and that beginning Shechita, that little part of the Shechita beginning that makes it a Surah, also makes him Chayv Arba Chamisha. And we have the answer of Rav Ashi. Amalei Rav Ashi lo titche. You can't knock it off for that reason. Tvacho kulo beinon. When it says tvacho, it means that they only become chayv for arba chamisha at the end of the shechita process. Aleka, that's lacking over here. Ela kasho. Oh, so it's a question. So it seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan can't hold, right, that it is chulin shenishchatu bazara is deoraisa. Right, he would have to hold that it's not deoraisa. And that's a problem, because we know Rabbi Yochanan himself explicitly said in the Gemara in Kiddushin that chulin shenishchatu bazara is deoraisa. So how do we solve the problem? We bring in we'll use the solution that Rav Gamda Mishmei the Rabba suggested before. The case in our Mishnah here in Baba Kama to explain the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Chulin Shechita Bazara could still be Doraisa is in a case where he begins the Shechita process outside the Azara and then only brings it into the Azara at the completion of the Shechita process. When he does that, then the Easter of Chulin Shechita Bazara only happens at the last moment as well, because he's bringing it into the Azara at that moment, and that same simultaneous with that moment of the Easter being created, he also has the chiyuv of arba v'chamisha. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan could hold chulin shenishchatu b'azara is deoraisa, and still hold that shechita in the shechita l'mitchilat sof, that shechita takes place over a process of time. How do we reconcile between having two chiyuvim appear at once, meaning the chiyuv of arba v'chamisha, which only happens at the end, and the chiyuv of chulin shenishchatu b'azara, which takes place all the way in the beginning? We reconcile that by having a process of shechita that starts outside the azara and then comes and is completed inside of the azara. So now, Tosus points out over here, it's just interesting. No, Tosus says that if you thought it was Deoraisa, if you thought the Easter of Chulin Shenishchatu Bazara was Deoraisa, then the Easter would happen right away. Well, mashma from that, that the Avamid Drabonon, Choshiv Demar Shapir, had it only been an Issa Drabonon, then it would remain in the possession of the original owner. Right? So, Mitoch Kach, from this, you can be near the tactic, the Takrovet of Avodah Zarah, Surah Banami Doraisa, that the bringing things or offering things up to Avodah Zarah, that Isra Noah is an Isra Nami Doraisa. Why? Because the Gemara earlier on said about Takrovet of Avodah Zarah that as soon as you begin to shech the animal, it becomes a Surah Miyat. So, Kevin the Shechah Purta, Asra Idach, Lomar Katavach, right? Then, if he shechs it, as soon as he shechs it, it becomes a surah. So, Vertosis is saying, based on our Gemara, the difference, how do you know when something is Isra Nami Darais or Isra Nami Darabanon? Isra Nami Darais is something when you cut in, the moment you cut in, it becomes a surah. On the other hand, I mean, something that tells only Hanab Darabanon is something that only becomes a surah all the way at the end of the shechting process. So, over here, we had a case before where it says, Tagur, when a person took an animal, his friend's animal is going to shecht it, Levoda Zara, we said it became a surah. Immediately. So that shows you that Takrovet Avodah Zarah, bringing animals to be Makriv to Avodah Zarah, that Isur Hanoah must be an Isur Hanoah Midoraisa. He says, well, Miyo Yesh Litchot, we could reject this conclusion. Why? Takrovet Zarah, Afilolo Asura Banoah Midorabanon, Choshiv Leshapir Lavdi Dei. Right? That even when you have a Takrovet Avodah Zarah, that you Shecht, even though Midorabanon, you're right, there is, it's Midorabanon. Therefore, there shouldn't be any Isur Hanoah right away. It should only be an Isur Hanoah all the way at the end. Right, rather than as soon as you cut into it. So why is the Gemara saying that there's Nisar not right away? So it says because Takrovet Avodah Zarah is different. Why? Because Kevin Dasru Chachamim B'chol Hanaot Afilu Kidesh Bo in Aisha Mekudeshet. The Chachamim, when it came to an Isar Hanoah of Takrovet Avodah Zarah, they made it a complete and entire Isar Hanoah. The Isar Hanoah has no exceptions. Meaning that it's not your money whatsoever. It's an Isar Hanoah completely. It looks exactly like a Deoraisa. So when they make it look exactly like a Deoraisa, then we may say, Kein Deoraisa. Kein Deoraisa means that even when you cut into it immediately, it'll become Asura. But when it comes to Chulin Ba'azara, if it was Derabonon, if a person then took the Chulin, if it was only an Isra Hanoah Midorabonon, and someone went and was Mekadesh and Isha with this animal, then we would have said that he is Mekudeshet. Meaning that the Isra Hanoah, again, what we described before, the Isra Hanoah is really only an Isra Hanoah on the Gavra, but the Chafetz remains in possession of the original Baal, and therefore if he goes and tries to generate Kiddushin, which is a Din D'oraisa, he can generate Kiddushin with this animal. As opposed to when it comes to Isra Hanoah of Takrovet Avodah Zarah, even though it's Midorabanan, the Rabbanan patterned that after the D'oraisa and made it a complete and entire Isra Hanoah to the point where that they were mafkir, the ownership of the individual. So the Tosus concludes at the end, but nevertheless, even though right, we might suggest that the Isur Takrovet Avodah Zarah is only Midrabanan. So even though I can't prove from here that it's Daraisa, he says, nevertheless, the eating of the Isur Achila of Takrovet Avodah Zarah is Min HaTorah. And why is that? He says, because the Torah compares it. In the Tanakh, we see that it's compared to a Yachlu Zivchei Meitim, that it's considered when you eat Takrovet Avodah Zarah, it's as if you ate dead animals or animals that were killed. Achila, therefore, it was that hekesh to zivchei meitim tells me that it's an isur achila, maybe even d'oraisa. The Tosfos in the end concludes that maybe when it comes to a takrovet azara, it's an only isur hanoah midrabanan. Even though before we saw something that looks exactly like chulin lazara, that as soon as you cut into it, it becomes a surah. Nevertheless, he differentiates between the isur hanoah d'rabanan by takrovet azara, which is a complete isur hanoah, versus the isur hanoah by chulin shenishkatu b'azara. If it was only d'rabanan, it would only be a partial isur hanoah. I mean, it would be the gavra, the individual, would be restricted from getting hanoah from it. But the chafetz, the object itself, would remain within the ownership of the original owner, and because of that, the nafkamina would be if you're mekadesh with that. When it comes to Takrovet Avodah Zarah, if you're mekadesh with that animal, it has no monetary value, so the kedushin would be invalid. But if you're mekadesh with something that was chulin shenishkatu ba'azara, that would be have monetary value to it, and you would be mekudeshet. And the Tosfos says, but even though I say that Takrovet Avodah Zarah could be an isur hanoah midrabanan, nevertheless, I believe that the isur achila of a Takrovet Avodah Zarah still remains a din d'oraisa, is a din d'oraisa, and that is. But that is from the fact that it's only Isur D'oraisa and Achila and not Manoah is because of the Hekesh to Bayochlu Zivchei Meitim. Tosfos is proof to the fact that there is an Isur Achila Midoraisa is because the Gemara considers it to be a Shechita Sheini Ru'uya. When you shecht an animal to Krov Re'ezer, it means a Shechita Sheini Ru'uya. If it's only Asur Midorabanan, why is that a Shechita Sheini Ru'uya? There's a Shechita Sheini Ru'uya, but the Rabbanan say it's Asur. The only way you can say it's a Shechita Sheini Ru'uya, it's not a real Shechita, it's not a good Shechita, is if you believe there's an Isur D'oraisa over here. Okay, now the next Mishnah. Ganav al pishnaim v'tavach u'machar al pihen. Person steals by two edim, and then he's tovach u'machar on these by these two edim. Zinimtzu zomimim, and then we find out that these edim are zomimim. Mishalmim akol. Right, then these edim are going to pay for everything. They're going to pay for the four or five times that he would have owed in this case. Ganav al pishnaim v'tavach u'machar al pishnaim. There are two edim say that he stole, and additional two edim say that he was tovach u'machar. These are shnayim achirim. There's different edim. Elu ve'elu nimtzu zomim. Then both of these sets of edim are found to be zomimim. Harishonim mishalmim tashlumei kefel. The first set of edim pay kefel. Why? Because that's what they were trying to be mechayiv him. When they say he stole the object, they were trying to make him chayav for kefel. So they're going to have to replace or have to pay for the kefel. Rachronim mishalmim tashlumei gimel. Really, it should be over here. It should be beis v'gimel. Two. They pay kefel two and three times. Because what? When we say that a person pays four or five times, the four or five times is comprised of kefel plus an additional amount added on, which is the three to get it to five times or the two to get it to four times. So it's two or three additional times on top of the original kefel. So since the original edim are the ones who created the chiyuv of kefel, these new edim only added on top of that an additional two or three times to get it to four or five times. So that's what they will be responsible for when they're found to be zomimim. Right, so nimtzu achronim zomimim. So now, on the other hand, if only the last edim were found zomimim, hu mishalem tashlumi kefel, then the ganav pays kefel because he has edim that say that he was a ganav. Ve mishalem tashlumi gimel. But the later edim who came to say he was tovech mocher and they were found to be zomimim, right, then they pay the two or three times. Right, echad min achronim zomimim. If only one of the two of the later edim were found to be zomimim, then betela edut shnia. The second edut is irrelevant, right? And he will pay. The ganav will pay kefel, and the second edim will not pay anything because there's no edim zomimim. You're not considering zomimim until the whole kat, the whole set of edim are made into right the edim zomimim. Echad min arishinim zomimim. If one of the first set of edim are found to be zomimim, betela kol edut. Everything falls apart. First of all, the first edus falls apart because you don't have two edim anymore. And the second edus is irrelevant because the fact that he was toveach mocher is irrelevant if he wasn't gonev, if he didn't steal it. And since the edus about gneva fell apart, then the tvicha mechira is irrelevant anymore, and they won't be, even if they're found to be zomim afterwards, they are irrelevant. She'im ein gneva, ein tvicha, ein mechira. If there's no gneva, then there is no tvicha or mechira. And therefore, then everybody in this case will be patur. There's no edim to testify that he was gonev or mocher. And the edim themselves have been, the whole edus has fallen apart. The first set of edim who said he was going to have, one of them is now made into a zomim, not the entire set. So they'll be paturi, or they'll be invalid as edim, but they also won't be zomimim. The second set of edim become irrelevant because there's no edim gneva, then their edus about the tvicha mechira become irrelevant.
Okay, the Gemara begins now. Itmar eid zomim, Abai amar limafreya hu nifsal, and Rav amar lekanaba hu nifsal. So when it comes to an eid zomim, or really eidim zomimim, when eidim are made into zomimim, how does that happen? You have two eidim that come and testify, and then after they've testified, an additional set of eidim come and say, imano eitim, that you were with us at the time that you claim that you're testifying about, or whatever is going on or transpiring in this litigation. So when they say imanu itim, they become edim zomimim. The punishment for edim zomimim is kashirazam am lasot, that we punish them with whatever they were trying to cause, or whatever punishment would have been met out to the person that they are testifying against. So Abaye amar, Abaye says it's lamafreya. The edim zomimim are lamafreya, meaning retroactively have unifsal, they become invalidated. Rav Amar the kalabahu nifsal, that only from the moment that these other edim come and testify about them, from there forward do they become pasul. What's the reasoning behind this? Amar Abaye amar lamafreya unifsal. Abaye says that it's retroactive that they become pasul. Me'ahu shata the asid havalei rasha. From the moment that they began to testify, they become rishaim, because the Torah amra al tashet rasha aid, right, that you can't make a aid a rasha, meaning that a person should not, if a person testifies falsely, right, so if you say al tashet yotchaim rasha, if you don't want to join with a rasha, that's referring to a person who came and testified it inappropriately. So the edim zomim are actually rashaim, already became problematic from the time that they testified. On the other hand, Rova says mikan labahu nifsal. Only from this moment forward does he become pasul. Eid zomim chidushu, because the whole concept or the whole institution of edim zomim is a chidush. Why is that? Ha v'trei v'trei ninhu.
right? In general, this, or any case, normal case, or any litigation, when you have two sets of Edim saying one thing, and another set of two Edim saying another thing, they will call Edim Muchachashim. These are Edim that disagree about what's going on in the case. In that case, the Edim are Muchashot, and we can't draw any conclusions from the testimony of the Edim. But one set of Edim can stand up and disagree, right, or object to what other Edim say. Yet in this case, we have an unbelievable situation. Two Edim come and testify, then an additional two Edim come and say, Manawaitim, that you were with us. And then we automatically believe the second set of Edim. We say, oh, well, the second set of Edim saying, Manawaitim, they're believed, and we don't worry about the fact that, wait, we have two Edim saying that we were there, and we testified what was there, and now we have two Edim saying that they weren't there. So now you really have two against two. Why are we believing the second set of comes and says that Imanuayitem? My chazit the tzait lahani, tzait lahani. Why are you listening to this set? The second set, listen to the first set who says we were there. Because of that, we're going to narrow down the scope of when Edomim is created. Since it's a chidush, we're going to narrow the scope of when that chidush takes place. And that'll be only from the moment that they testify, or the moment that the new Edom come and testify about the first set of Edom. From that moment forward, they will become psulim. Just to note here, it's interesting, Tosfos qualifies this a little bit, because obviously the difference between the Mafreya and the Kama Abba, which the Gemara is going to ask in a second about what's Iga Meinayu, what's the difference between them, but Tosfos points out over here that if a shtar, for instance, was signed in between the time that they testified and the time they became Edom Zomim, they were signatories to such a shtar, then the Machlokes Din, Abaye, and Rav over here would make it whether this shtar is a kosher shtar or not. I mean, is the shtar a good shtar because the Edim are Ksherim, they're only Psulim as Edim Zomim Mikan Laba, or they Edim Psulim from the moment they testified, and therefore they were Psulim before they signed on this shtar. Tosfos points out over here, it's the last Tosfos on the Amud, he says, Nira Shi'im Lo Nir Ahashtar Ad Achra Zama. If the shtar is only brought out after the time that they were made into Edom Zomim, Afopishes Mano Mugdam Lazama Zama, even though the time or the dating in the shtar is prior to the time that they became Edom Zomim, Mode Rava Delo Meshkechinim Bahu. We don't listen to them. We don't listen. Even Rava would agree that we don't say this is a valid shtar. Because who knows? If they just bring it out after the time period that they became Edom Zomim, maybe somebody knew when they became Edom Zomim. They signed it then, and they just dated. They predated it in order to avoid a problem, to say, oh, it was before they became Edom Zomim, Kedvu. Right? That they signed it when they were already Edom Zomim, and they just moved the date back. So it says that it's limited. This case, or the scope in which we say that they are not Pasulim Afreya, according to Rava, is only a case where the shtar came out before they became Edom Zomim, before, where their testimony in other cases, or their testimony on a shtar already is evident prior to the fact that they became Edom Zomim. Vikadamri, there's another lashon in the Gemara, another possibility, the Rava Namaka Abaye severely. Rava holds like Abaye. What does that mean? The Amar Mafreya Nipsal. Everybody agrees that Edom Zomim really are Psulim Limafreya. Retroactively, they become Psulim from the time that they testified. But Hocha Ainu Taima the Rava. So then why does Rava disagree and say Mikolin Abba? Shem Seda the Lukuchot. Rava believes that even though truthfully these Edim are Psulim Limafreya, we nevertheless need to protect the Lukuchot, to protect buyers out there. There are unwitting buyers who come along and have these Edim testify or sign on documents. And when they sign on the documents, then the Lukuchot, the buyers, are going to lose out. They're going to lose out because they didn't know that these Edom were problematic, and all of a sudden they're going to cause a huge problem for any buyers. Buyers are always going to be scared of having Edom signed because maybe they'll be found out. If they testified somewhere else, they'll be found out to be Zomim and it'll ruin everything. So in order to protect commerce in general, or protect buyers in general, Rava says that, Eino Hanami, really, Edom Zomim are Pasulim Limafreya retroactively. But in this instance, we're going to say, Mikanal Abba, to protect the Lukuchot, Mabinayu. What's the difference, not between Abai and Rava, but what's the difference between these two Lushonot and Rava? In one case, the Rava says it's only Mikanal Abba, and that's a Shita Mikara. That's the core of a Shita. In the second opinion of Rava, Rava believes, like Abaya, that the core really is, or the real part of Shita, is that Limafreya, Edom Zomim are Limafreya, but is Exeras Chachamim, Takanas Chachamim, to protect the Lukuchot. What's the difference between these two lashonot? One possibility is that you have two Edim that come and testify about one eight, and then another two eidim in contest of a about another eight. So instead of the classic case of eidim zomimim, where we have two eidim come and testify the first set of eidim and say imanu eidim that you were with us, instead we actually have four eidim come now. These four eidim come. Each set has each you have two new sets of eidim that come, and the two new sets of eidim come. Each set testifies about one of the eidim in the first part of the testimony. So the two eidim come and testify about some case. Reuven and Shimon testified. Then we have two eidim that come and testify about Reuven himself, and another two eidim that come and testify about Shimon. So now you have two eidim versus one. Tosafot points out, what's the difference? I mean, who cares? Because when you have two eidim, when you have a set of two eidim, they automatically become kameya. So the Gemara is trying to create a case where it's not a chiddush that two eidim can override two eidim, because here you have four eidim overriding two eidim. So it says, why does it matter? We always say that it doesn't matter how many eidim are there, right? It's once it's trei kameya, two are like 100. So it says the case must be where Reuven and Shimon, the two original witnesses, actually are testifying about the same case, but never testified together. I mean that they weren't there together. They each independently are testifying about a case, and so together they create a testimony that has tokif, that has value, that has ability to help the judges adjudicate. And then these eidim, other eidim come along, these other two sets of eidim come along, each one testifying about each one of these single eidim, not that they were a set of eidim beforehand, Reuven and Shimon, but rather Reuven comes and testifies, and then separately Shimon testifies. So now when we have new sets of eidim, one set testifying about Reuven and one set testifying about Shimon, they can override that testimony and would not be a chiddush, because now we have two against one. Two against one, that's not a chiddush. So that would be one of the nafkaminots between them. Because in the first lashon that says that it was a chiddush, this isn't a chiddush, right? And if it's not a chiddush, then Rabbah would agree that it is the mafreya. But on the other hand, if the whole problem, the reason that Rabbah says it's mikala haba is to protect the kuchot, in this instance, we still need the kuchot to be protected. You know, I mean, another possibility of a nafkaminot to them is the pasplinan bigazlanuta. Right, that they became pasul, not that they became pasul because they were eidim zomimim, but two eidim come and testify that they are gazlanim. Right, so they're testifying about these individuals that they're actually thieves, that they're untrustworthy people. So in this case, also it'll be an nafkamina between the two cases. One is it's not a case of eidim zomimim. So now we're saying believe these two over these two because they're testifying about a totally different issue. They're testifying about an issue about gezel. That is nothing about what these two, the original Reuven and Shimon, are testifying about. They're testifying about the case at hand. And now we have two of them come and testify to a totally different issue, which is that they are gazlanim, Reuven and Shimon. So therefore, there's no chiddush. If there's no chiddush, again, Rava would agree that it is the mafreya. But again, for protection of the kuchot, the second lashon of Rava, you still need protection of the kuchot in this instance, because how are the kuchot going to know if this isn't made public prior to these eidim going ahead and signing on all these documents? In all these cases, when it says a chiddush, we just described that these two cases, the case where there's two testifying about each eid, or where two eidim come testify about the fact that these eidim are gazlanim, it's not a chiddush anymore. Now we're back to normal rules of testimony. Whereas, on the other hand, but the fact that the luchot will be unjustly cheated out of their property or have problems with the shtarot, that still exists in both of these instances. So I'm Rabbi Irmiya Midifti, Avad Rav Papa Uvda Kavati de Rava. Rabbi Midifti says that Rav Papa did something like Rava, meaning he passed an aloha like Rava. Vashi Amar Yochasa Kavati de Abayi, Vashi says the aloha is like Abayi. The Yochasa Kavati de Abayi Abayal Kagam. We have a principle throughout Shas that generally, when it comes to Machlokas Rava and Abaye, that the Halacha is like Rava. There are exceptions. There are six exceptions to that, and those are the exceptions called the Al-Kagam. In the Al-Kagam, we pass them like Abaye. And one of those items, the Al-Kagam, stands for, right, it's an acronym for the cases in which we paskin like Abaye. And one of those letters is Ayin, and that's for Eid. By Eid's Omein, we paskin like Abaye. So that's one of the instances where the exception to the rule of paskin like Rav or Rabaye is Yalkagam. One of them is our case of Eid's Omein. And therefore, the loch is like Abaye that says, Limafreya hu nifsal. That is nifsal retroactively. So as we see over here, points out that there were numerous other nafkaminot between the two lishonos of Rava, right? Because you could also say, Dine nefashot is between them, or Iser Balo, Isha Labala, or Gitin and Kedushin, or Edus Achodesh, things that don't involve third parties, don't involve Lekuchot, right? In those instances, right, those are differences between the two opinions of Rava. Rava still says that it's a Chidushu when it comes to Edim Zomimim. On the other hand, for protection of Lekuchot, in all these instances, there are no Lekuchot, there are no third parties involved. So then Rava would say, Lemafreya, according to the second Lashon. But the reason, right, that the Gemara was after over here, he says that they were trying to find a case in Mimononos that was a difference or a point of contention between these two Lashonos of Rava, and not to look for cases outside of Mimononos where there are obviously differences between the cases because they don't involve any Lekuchot. Okay, we'll stop over here.